listening friend, welcome to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. It's July 25th, 2014. Co-host Pastor Jason Schiffo is joining me again in the studio after having Wednesday off. You know, I don't think I even said anything on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. I had two studio guests. They were returning to South Korea. We got right into it. I just didn't even think about it because I got kind of caught up in their story. But you got to have a little much-needed time away with family to just enjoy God and His Word and family situation. And I know you've returned to hundreds of emails and all the church responses. Abilities and the pressures of life, but I did know that God kind of reinforced in your life the importance of family and just that quality time with your kids.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just to get away, and so we left the phone on the counter. I left my phone on the counter because I know that I'm predispositioned to want to check email and do those things, and then purposely just put ourselves in a place where we didn't have any of that. We didn't have any phone, we didn't have any Facebook, we didn't have any email, we didn't have any of that kind of stuff, and so it was just about us and our kids. You know, I brought some books because my wife knows that I'm like that, so I did a lot of reading, but it was great. I mean, for our kids to come back and go, like, that was awesome. And it was not that it was awesome because we did a bunch of extra things that we've never done before, though we did do some things. I mean, it was awesome because we spent time together.
Yeah, and I know you had a boat ride where not only did the kids get to enjoy jumping off a boat into the big lake, but they got to see even wildlife from the boat on the shoreline. They saw deer and just all those discoveries that kids get to make with mom and dad driving the boat.
It was really funny because we take probably 99.9% of the pictures that we have with our phones. You know, it's just the phone's with you. It's got a good camera on it. You know, I have little stuff on there. I can edit pictures. We can email them to each other. We can do all that. And because we said specifically we don't want the phones to be prevalent in this, we had to dig out our old Canon camera.
Yeah.
And so we have, I still got to get them on the computer, but we have a couple hundred probably of pictures. But yeah, we had this moments where I'm like, come on over here, Jacob, you're going to drive the boat now. And he's like, what? What if I hit something? I'm like, it's water. You're okay. This part, there's no boats on here. There's no nothing. If you run over a few fish, that happens, I guess. But yeah, we just had great time, and the kids all, then they all wanted to turn driving the boat. And so what's really kind of funny is it waxed kind of nostalgic, things I did when I was a kid that I don't know why I don't do now. Mm-hmm. That I, you know, that like when I was a kid, my grandpa let me get and drive the boat, and that was a big deal for me. And I never thought, like, what the big deal for me. I guess I've never taken an inventory of the things that were important to me as a kid that I should pass along to my son. I mean, we've created lots of memories, and I don't think I'm a despondent or, you know, kind of dirtbag dad. But in the same token, there were things that were really important to me that were really powerful that I found, wow, these things are equally as powerful for my son.
Yeah, I know. In fact, just prior to this broadcast, you and I were reminiscing a little about some of our childhood and some of the things I did, and I was seeking some advice or counsel on some of the things I can do with Esther, because it's like it's so new, this new role as dad, and I'm like, I grew up many times going to Wakanda, you know, Lake Geneva, or different things, going to the sand dunes, going to the zoo all the time, and I'm like, it's a new role for me, and it's like, you go, oh yeah, Peoria has this zoo, and we recently were in Bloomington to their zoo, and all these different things that I'm just kind of clueless. I think even Tasha one time emailed me about some of the events that go on at Crystal Lake Park or other places. Yeah. And I'm like, shoot, I got to learn all these things.
Yeah, and those kinds of things. I mean, there's so many things on my plate. I don't always think about those things. And then, you know, when we were down where we were in Lake Shelbyville, I was like, oh my gosh, we could come back down here and do this, and this is so much fun. We should try this next time. And then realizing, you know what, this is like an hour and 40 minutes away. Why wouldn't we do this more often? Yeah. I mean, it's so simple to go and come back. We could be engaged in this. And engaged, I think, in the life of our family, you know, kind of re-engaging, getting our finger on the pulse of our family. So this is for all of you who are like, I'm struggling being a parent. Look, me too. Welcome to the club.
Yeah.
We can all have a little group. We meet on Wednesdays and talk about it.
But as the, Nike commercial says, just do it. I mean, that was one of the things is just get away. And you'll find something interesting. Even, I think, one of the things Jacob or Molly echoed was, it was so great to have your undivided attention. And all of us as parents, or all of us within friendships, when we put others first or just spend quality time, and that might not be doing something. It might just be sitting over a meal. It's recommended.
Yeah, it's really funny. You know, I believe God's sovereign. So everywhere we kept going, when things kept happening, I'm like, gosh, God, you love us so much. Like, I mean, mean, even silly things like there's a place in Lake Shelbyville. We got done with the boating, and we said, well, after the boating's done, we're going to go out and get something to eat, because to get back to the cabin and to make dinner and do all that, it's pretty late at night. Boating was done at like 7, and then it's 40 minutes back from that part of the lake where the marina was at. And we ran across this little place. You give a shout-out for this place called Drewby's. And I think it was on Main Street in Lake Shelbyville. But we walk in, and they're like, tonight we have a special, 5 cheeseburgers and a pound of fries for $7. And I'm like, 1, 2, 3, 4. We have 5 hungry people here. I mean, it was like catered to us, and it was just, we felt like the Lord had just been like, I know you don't want to spend a lot of money, Jason, so I'm going to have the meal deal like you've never seen before. Yeah. Ready. I mean, it was just like, we just kept going, gosh, God, you love us so much. Yeah. So, and that's not just for us. I think that testimony is to remind other people that God loves you so much that, I mean, he'll provide a way and he'll make a way. But sometimes we just need to do something, get up off our bottoms and get going in a direct. Look, if you say, Lord, I want to take some time to spend with my family and to really pour into them and to really rally around them. Look, there's nothing in the Bible that's going to tell you that that's counter to God's purposes and plans for you. That's what he wants to do. Now, when you run into some trouble as you're trying to do, by the way, I just want to make real clear. Monday morning at 6:30 a.m. as I'm loading the car to leave, I backed into my neighbor's car. And so the morning didn't start out so hot. But my wife reminded me that, Jason, I know theologically you're sound, but right now you're missing the mark. Yeah. Because the enemy's trying to derail what God wants to do here. So if you're going, well, you know, we're trying to do that, but it seems like there's some resistance, that's because the last thing the enemy wants you to do is to go spend time with your family and sow into that ground. So good time.
Good time.
So just do something.
Just do it.
And leave the other stuff behind. Leave the distractions behind. Because if I learned anything, that was powerful for me. I'm thick-headed and sometimes a little slow. You know, I like technology. I like my phone. I like to check email. I like to do all those kinds of things. I like that. I needed to leave it behind. So maybe there's something you need to leave behind when you go to do this thing that will allow you to be wholly engaged in it because you're wholly separated from it. So
sounds a little like Peter, who was a little thick-headed, hard-hearted. He and his friends, who couldn't even fathom or believe that God would work through the Gentiles, because wasn't the promises just for the Jewish people? But in chapter 10 of Acts, we're going to learn how God has a love for all people, and he had some surprising ways of revealing that, and I think we'll learn from that in just a minute. Maybe if you open up our time in prayer and we learn about what Peter and his friends are going to learn about the unique way God was at work.
Yeah, Lord, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is a word that speaks to us, that when you tell us something in your word, that it's your assurance to us about the things that you're speaking. There's not like just marginal kind of coffee talk in this book, but instead that this book is the things that you are so sure about, that you want to grant us assurance of, that Jesus is your son, that through him there is salvation in him alone, and that you desire the greatest things for us, but that there will be things that will volley for our attention in the midst of that, things that will try to pull us and keep us away from you. So, Lord, I pray that just everybody within earshot right now would know that this word you've given to us is your word. It's your voice in a way that we can understand, in a way that we can comprehend. If we heard your voice as it is, we probably would just stand at a distance like the Israelites did back in the Exodus. And so we thank you that you've spoken to us in such a kind and gentle way as to where we can read it in the safety and comfort of places and spaces that you've created, and that we can actually get it. And with the Holy Spirit, be convicted by it and move through it. And so we thank you that you carried men along, that you spoke to them through this book, that you gave them a pen and paper, and that you drove them to write things down that you wanted to say to your people, not just for that time, but for all time. And so we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So you started out by saying that now this word is like for all people, and that the Jews had thought maybe the word was only for them. But what's interesting is if you go back to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, the Lord tells Abraham that the word is going to be for all people. He tells it that it's going to be, look, I'm going to bless you and make you a great nation, and this blessing will make your name great, that you will be a blessing, and I'll bless those who bless you. Him who dishonors you, I'll curse him. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So this is all the families of the earth, past, present, and future. God is talking about the gospel going forth. He's talking about what will happen as not just a certain people, but all people will be grafted in, as you might say, or be pulled into through faith and salvation, this family. You know, speaking of the camping experience, Jacob and I, we just kind of flipped the Bible open one morning out on the picnic table, having coffee in the morning, and we started talking.
Jacob's having coffee in the morning?
No, he had orange juice. He had it in a coffee mug.
Okay.
You know, I'm working on Jesus with him. I figured when we get him to coffee, we know he's okay. Somebody said it would stunt his growth. I said, yeah, but it'll lead to salvation.
Yeah.
I don't know how you read your Bible in the morning without coffee. Some people do tea, maybe.
I know. People still know that you say, you don't know if I'm saved because I don't drink coffee.
But, you know, we were reading Psalm 146. And so when you start reading the Old Testament with Jesus-like eyes, because what Peter's going to do in Acts chapter 10 is he gives the gospel to the Gentiles, to Cornelius and his house, is he's going to bring them to saving grace. But saving grace, the grace that God affords to us, by the way, Ephesians tells us that it's his gift to us, that our faith to believe was something that God gave to us. So God is sovereign over even our ability to understand and accept him. So those of you who go, you know, well, but I gave my life to God. No, you didn't give your life to God. God grabbed a hold of your life and through that revealed himself to you. And by the way, the ability for you to give your life to God came because he gave you breath and he gave you life and he gave you that body and he gave you the facilities to be able to believe and to know. So God has given you everything. If you start from any other point than God has given you everything and everything belongs to him, then you will always argue with the sovereignty of God. And so you need to start with the fact that God is sovereign over all things, which means that even in the Old Testament, God was sovereign. This is where I really believe that the Jewish people were missing it, because they were limiting God. They were loving God and saying, well, we want to follow these 613 rules so that we can love God with our whole heart. But what they missed is that they began to contain God inside of these 613 things. So God was only present in the service of 613 things instead of God being sovereign over all of those things and then more things.
Yeah, and I'm thinking of that one verse. I know the second half. Not by works, so that none of us can boast. So it's nothing about our abilities or anything that we can do, we can earn. Because we behave this way, we've earned his love, or we can now boast about it. It's because of his sovereignty and drawing us to himself.
Yeah, not as a result of works. And by the way, the verse that you're quoting is Ephesians 2:8. And after that, it says, for we are God's workmanship. So telling us how we've been made and created, that everything that we have to be able to do the things that we do, whether we accept God, love God, or turn our away from God, is because of his workmanship, because of how he's divinely created us. That doesn't mean he created us to turn from him, but the facilities that he's given us. Now, it's what we want to do with those facilities. So Jacob and I were sitting on the picnic table, and we're having a moment. We just flipped the Bible open. I mean, literally flipped it open to Psalm 146. And I've read Psalm 146 a ton of times, but I never, ever read it this way. And you know why it was? Is because, look, I've been praying to God like a number of years ago, probably like 4 years ago, before coming to Muhammad, I would tell people all the time, I would say, I am really a horrible evangelist. Like, I am not, I mean, when people get saved or, like, I lead somebody to the Lord, I'm more shocked than I think they are. Because it's just not something that I've ever felt like I'm good at. And maybe some of that is condemnation from the enemy. Some of it is just my not feeling like I can really stand in authority in that. I'm not really sure. But for the last year or so, just really praying to God that God, you know, like, God, if I'm not proclaiming the gospel and moving people towards faith, then what does that say about what I believe in? What does that say about you? Because, look, if I believe a movie's good, I'm going to tell you about it till the sun goes down, Mark. If I believe that I found a great restaurant, I'm going to tell you about it till you go and eat there and agree with me that it was a great restaurant. And then it's just kind of how we are when we find something that we really believe in. And so if I really believe in Jesus, then aren't I going to talk about Jesus all the time? And so,
and it's kind of like a contradiction, because I do know you believe in Jesus and you have a great passion for people to know his word, and you're very well studied and in a sense equipped, and yet for whatever reason, and I think you are good at it, but yet you have somehow felt not really equipped or something.
The stumbling block for me, because God revealed it to me, the stumbling block for me was that, number one, I was taking it way too personal when people would not come to faith. you know, I always felt like I had to be the guy on the edge of the cliff who was kind of like leading you in. I couldn't be number five who was just helping. Mm-hmm. I always had to be the hands-on last guy. And so, you know, I mean, even so much so that I had an instance where I was sharing the gospel with somebody, and it was in like a prayer. It was a prayer gathering at this church we used to attend in Peoria, and it was like stations. And so there was like this station, and then 10 feet away was the next kind of prayer station. And so I was sitting the guy, because I could hear him coming for prayer, because this is happening. I'm like, do you believe in Jesus? He's like, I'm really struggling with it. So I start sharing the gospel with him, and I'm like, boom, 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 boom. And then he's like, okay, thank you. And he gets up and he goes. And he goes to the next station where I had a friend. His name was Tom. And Tom's over there. And Tom is like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like watching. And Tom's like praying for him. And then all of a sudden they get up and they're like hugging. And right away, I knew what happened. I'm like, that was mine. That was my guy. I did the work.
Come back here.
Yeah,
I want credit.
Get back over here. I want part of the hug. You know, I'm like, that's my guy. And so, you know, God's like, remember that day? Because that was like you thinking you had to be the number one guy. You had to lead everybody into the gate. And you don't do anything, because Ephesians 2:8 tells me that it's God who leads them into the gate. It's my obedience that helps, that facilitates my proclamation of the gospel. And my proclamation of the gospel is simply because I believe the gospel to be true. So in all of that, wrapped up in all of that, I'm praying, like, God, help me to become a better evangelist. God, help me to become somebody who shares the gospel boldly, that I boast in Christ. And God goes, well, you know, you really want to do it? You're going to need to start with your kids. And I'm like, oh, no, can we not do my kids? Because my kids see every single one of my flaws. I mean, you know, if you say, you know, I read a part of the Bible, and I'm like, and God says do this, and my son will go like, well, then why don't you do that?
Oh, jeez.
You know, and then I have to go like, and my kids reminded me one day, Tasha and I both, I think it was a couple 6 months ago or so, they go, you're sinners, aren't you guys?
Yeah.
And we're like, we're your parents. Yeah, but you're sinners. We're sinful parents, and we're in charge, you know. I mean, it was just like a really hard, I mean, because how do you have authority when your kids are like, well, you're sinners, right? You've fallen short, too.
Yeah.
We learned that one in Awana, Romans 3:23. Are you the all, mom and dad? Yeah. Well, who corrects you? God. Can we? No. I mean, it was just kind of like this weird moment. So I wasn't shocked when we're at the picnic table and I flip it open and it's Psalm 146, which I'd read a ton of times, but I guess maybe I'd never read it with Jesus' eyes, where it begins and it says this. It says, praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing the praises to my God while I have my being. So it's as long as I live, as long as I have facilities, as long as I have this breath that God has given me, I'm going to give praise back to him. And then it says in verse 3, don't put your trust in princes or in the Son of Man, whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth, and on that very day his plans perish. So the plans of man and the purposes of man tend to fail apart from God. And then we go down to verse 7. I mean, it talks about what God is in the middle of that, but then we go down to verse 7 and 8, and it says this, the Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. And so I'm looking at Jacob, and I go, what do you think this means? And my 8-year-old son, he says, well, Dad, those people who are prisoners are probably, they're probably in prison to sin. Because sin is like those chains that bind you. And I'm like, oh, I got a pen out. I'm writing it down in my Bible. So I'm like, this is good stuff.
Yeah, this little theme.
He's knocking a sermon out for me right here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, well, what do you think the next one is? He goes, well, the blind. He goes, remember when you and I were talking about Bartimaeus and those? He goes, isn't that like the blind can't see Jesus? It's not just like they're blind and they can't see the world, but they're maybe seeing too much of the world and they're not seeing Jesus. And I'm like, yeah. Write it down again. I'm like,
second point in the outline.
I'm like, do you have a joke? I need a joke in here somewhere. So I just alleviate the tension during the sermon. And then he goes, it says the Lord loves the righteous. He goes, what does that mean? And then I stopped and I go, well, you know, Jacob, when we accept Jesus into our life, there's a great exchange happens where Jesus takes from us our sinfulness and he gives us his righteousness. And I said, and when I read this verse, it makes me feel like God sees the righteousness that we have in Christ. It's like Colossians chapter 3, when Christ, who is your life, appears, you'll appear with him in glory. And when God looks upon you, clothed and wrapped up in the Son, he sees simply the Son. So when he looks at us, he loves the righteousness because it's the righteousness of Christ that's been given to us. Look, we're on the other side of the cross, so I can read this now and go, oh my gosh, I totally see Jesus. But the people at this time, the Jews, they didn't know that. they didn't know that God was talking about Jesus in the midst of here. And look, the Lord watches over the sojourners, the travelers. He upholds the widows and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked bring ruin. The Lord will reign forever. By the way, remember a little earlier, the princes of the world, they only reign for a little bit of time, but the Lord, he reigns forever. And this moment where it's all about Jesus. And the Bible has always been all about Jesus. Not some of it, not a little bit of it, but it's always been about, from Genesis chapter 3 when God says, and he will crush that head. It's always been about Jesus. It's been about the coming of the Messiah. And there were people who missed that because they were so wrapped up in these 613 things that they could do to somehow please God that they had forgotten that God was bigger than 613 things, and that God's ways are not our ways, and that man makes his plans, but God orders his steps, and that there's a difference between us and God is sovereign over everything. Now, that doesn't take away our responsibility, because we're still responsible to do what? To be obedient, to preach the gospel, to do those things. And though we didn't get a chance to talk about it today, that's what Peter does. Peter, in his obedience, stepped forward and shares the gospel. Peter's Jewish. So everything inside of him is not to share the gospel with these people. And maybe you have somebody in your life who you go, yeah, but that person's like a drug addict, and they've been a drug addict forever. I mean, what am I going to share the gospel? God wants to save them? Yeah, God wants to save them. God wants to save them. You know, I may have maybe told this, made this admission, and maybe I didn't. I read an article a number of weeks ago, maybe it was almost a month ago, where they said that the Berkowitz, the guy who is the Son of Sam guy who killed all those people, who was a serial killer, the article said that he accepted the Lord Jesus as a Savior, and he's leading Bible studies in the prison. And my first inclination when I read that article was like, it's a fake. He is a farce. He's doing it so the parole board will go, good job, and he'll get out maybe, because he's going to languish and die in prison. And then God had to go, you think I can't save him? You really think I can't save him? Then why would I save your son then? And why did I save your daughters? And why did I even save you? I mean, it was like a moment where God really convicted me, and he said, you think I can't? Really? Really? Because you were as bad as him. You just didn't cross the lines he crossed. You crossed different ones. But you were as bad as him. By the way, the lady you saved last week, same as you. You're all bad. And yet, because I'm that good, I sent my son to make a way for you through the cross, to show you that there's nothing that the cross... So when Peter stands here and does this, I got to think there's everything in Peter who's going, but they aren't Jews. They aren't Jews. But they aren't Jews. And yet, still in obedience, he steps forward and he goes after, because God goes after, those people who seem the farthest. In fact, he's going to tell them that Jesus is the God of peace. And one of my favorite verses in the Bible is Ephesians 2:17, which says, and he came and he preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. That's everybody. When God says far off to God is not like down the block. Far off to God is like far off. We can't measure the distance. And when God says near, near to us is like the hug of hugs. And God goes, no, that's not even the nearest I'm talking about. I'm talking about resting inside of you in your heart. And so we can't even contemplate how God sees and thinks these things. And so we have to understand that when Peter does this, he's doing this by the obedience of God, because God is tenacious about saving the unsavable. God is tenacious about loving the unlovable. And God is tenacious about bringing close to him all people. And the all includes you. The unlovable includes you. The unsavable includes you. Because from your position, you might say, I'm unsavable and unlovable. And God goes, no, actually, I see more in you than you actually see in yourself.
Yeah, and that all, like you said, is all of us. For all of us have fallen short and need the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this chapter 10, I can't wait to share it with you all this next Friday. So the assignment for everyone this weekend, including me, Jason, I know you'll be
in. It was like country, you said you all.
Yeah. That's still from the prior Wednesday, I think, when you were y'alling.
Y'alling.
This chapter 10, powerful chapter in this book of Acts. I think you'll really be blessed by reading it. There's so many points of application, and it's God's inspired word. So as you ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you and reveal truth, he will do that because he delights in doing that. And he delights in helping you understand his deeper truths that are conveyed here in the scriptures. So pick up a Bible, meet up with a friend, talk about what you're reading. Be sure to be in church this Sunday, fellowship with other like-minded believers. And for those of you that tune in to 89.3 FM on Friday nights, coming up after SRN News is Front Page Jerusalem, so you'll get some updates about what's happening in the Holy Land. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.